thru hiker and badass mom Mandy founded Purple Rain Adventure Skirts in 2014. Since then, the quality, design, and care she's put into skirts for men and women to get outside has made her business grow over time. She crafts performance apparel proudly made in Oregon that inspires freedom of adventure without compromised style or function. Remember to shop small and support the creator that is supporting the hiking community with kilts and skirts to make you feel comfortable putting in all those miles. We are proud to have her as a sponsor on this podcast. I'm personally excited to sport one on our quest on the Pacific Crest Trail while my daughter rocks hers. Welcome to Season 2 of A Long Walk North. Today's episode is brought to you by Triple Crown Coffee, Purple Rain Adventure Skirts, and the Thruer Hiking Community. Today we get right into it with a trail update from the Purple Rain fam getting ready to pack up. They're in a hostel right now in Big Bear, California, and we want to catch up with them on their first 266 miles on trail with Bedtime, who is the couple's 5.5-year-old son, who's starting to rally for the parents and say, "Come on, we can do this thing." What started out as daddy and son coming out with mom on her first part of her PCT through hike, there's been days where it's been slow and difficult, but also some promising days pushing forward that now gives Mandy the thought, hey, maybe we can pull this off. Before we start, Mandy owns and operates Purple Rain Adventure Skirts. They're a sponsor of the show. There's a link in the show notes. If you go into the description, there's a link that, for the show notes, it goes to our website, where there's more photos and links of the things that we talk about. Lots of kids on trail this year, which has been fun to watch. Here's our talk with Mandy and fam on the trail.
Charging down those craggy mountains with our thrift store friends, who you find so in love with the fallen earth, or you wake in the middle of the fallen night with the summer playing coy.
Oh my goodness.
Hello.
Hello. I'm excited. This year following people is so much better because I get to talk to people and I'm watching so many vlogs. It's just ridiculous. But time is money or whatever. Time is chores that you should be doing. So we should just get started, really.
Right. Precious town day.
Yeah. So before we start, I'm going to refer to your son as Bedtime, but I need to know right away, you know, how did he get his trail name?
Well, he got it last summer when we did a little section on the PCT. It was our first like official morning on trail. And we were like literally, I don't know, 100 yards from camp the first morning, like 8 o'clock in the morning, getting out on trail. And he just like laid down in the middle of the trail and he's like, "I'm so tired. Is it bedtime yet?" And we were
like that meme. I remember like, "I'm so tired." And the little girl just like falls asleep.
"I'm taking a nap."
"You want to take a nap?"
"I'm taking a nap here."
"Okay, take a nap right there then. Good night."
"Good night."
Yeah. You probably don't see it because you're not on your phone all the time. But
trying not to be. But yeah, and he just, you know, he hikes in his pajamas. He always has messy hair. Like he just lays down and rests his body whenever he needs to. Like as kids do, they listen to their bodies. So it's always bedtime for him. Yeah.
Parents need to do that too every now and then. Just lie down. Who cares?
Yeah, exactly.
But now, does Ryan have a trail name?
He is. He is Double Dog.
Well, that sounds exciting.
Yeah, it was. Also, that was a layover from the AT. It was two hot dogs and one bun. So.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, like kill two birds with one stone.
Exactly.
Are you still going with Purple Rain then?
I am. Sticking true to what we had before. I mean, mostly for the branding and stuff, but it's who I am. So.
Yeah. Okay, so before we talk about the on-trail stuff, how were things leading up to getting to the trail? Like any hiccups, winding down normal life stuff before getting on trail? Was it smooth? Like get down to, because I think you had some family to visit a little bit before you start and then.
Right. It went surprisingly smooth. You know, we were kind of ready for all kinds of hiccups and we were kind of back and forth with how we were going to actually do it. But, you know, we're West Coast based. So we drove down to grandparents and left a car with a box of extra gear and a box of like resupply food in the car as kind of our fail safe. If everything like went bad, at least we'd have like transportation. But yeah, grandpa got us to trail easy peasy. We started at like noon or something on our start date and did miles to the first water source. But yeah, we felt pretty satisfied with that.
Oh yeah. I mean, you didn't really, like you said, you didn't have any super expectations. You guys were just going for a walk as a family.
Exactly. And I think that that's really helped, like, yeah, set the expectation that we're really just here like one day at a time. And it's nice to like think about Canada and have this greater goal. But ultimately, like as a parent, and I think as a through hiker, like you just have to take it one day at a time.
You know, if it takes you six summers to get to Canada, who cares?
Who cares? Exactly. It's all our adventure and how it plays out.
Yeah. Any part of your gear that worried you, like even before you were starting, like do you wish you had something that was better, you know, a sleeping bag that's warmer or a bigger tent? Or is there any like piece of gear that you even wish you had, like, you know what, I've been kicking myself, I should have a sun umbrella or something? Like, is there any kind of gear you wish you had or you wish you had?
That was, yes, absolutely. I mean, I wish I had like all new gear. There's just been like really nice advancements in gear since, you know, I started my through hiking career like 10 years ago. And even the last time we did a long trail was 7 years ago. But it was also when we started this, we didn't know how it was going to end. I was like, I'm not going to go buy a bunch of new stuff.
Oh, and be all not millionaires.
Yeah, and be off trail in 100 miles or something. So we committed to just like digging through the garage and using what we had. And then once we're out on trail and I see like you're around other hikers and you're making dinner together, I'm like, oh, wow, that's a nice stove. They've really come a long way with those. You know?
I know. So, and you're like looking at these puffies that have like little batteries that heat you up and stuff.
Yeah, it's crazy. So I, you know, we kind of have some archaic gear, but like it works, you know, and the trail just eats your gear anyway. So I'd be hard pressed to spend $700 on a new tent when ours is good enough. And what is, you know, like 8 ounces save you? Like what is the monetary value of that? So we're just kind of rocking it out with what we have.
There you go. What are the loads like of that you're carrying, like for you and Ryan and bedtime? Like, is it reasonable? Like obviously it's a lot of weight with food and water.
That's exactly it. It's the food and water. I feel like we've got a pretty low base weight that I feel comfortable with. I'm at about like 13 pounds, I think. And Ryan has probably around 15. But it's the food and water. We're carrying so much of it. And I mean, that's nice that it fluctuates, but coming out of town, you know, you're really heavy loaded. And the long water carries has been a real sharp learning curve of like the Southern desert. And us, like, we're not able to do 20 mile days yet. So, you know, having a dry camp with like multiple liters of water is kind of a backbreaker, but you know, we're getting used to it.
No, you know what a backbreaker is? Having a 2-year-old on your back as well.
Yeah, no doubt. Oh my gosh.
Or another, you know, like, yeah, more kids, you got to carry their water. Cause that's hard on those parents.
Yeah, that's got to be extremely hard. I mean, yeah, we have one kid and I know of at least two other families that are families of five with three kids out here. We have yet to meet them and I hope we do run into each other. But yes, my hat goes off to them.
I think they're behind you though, but there's on YouTube anyways, there's a mom with two kids. I'm going to guess like maybe the daughter looks about 9 or 10 and the boy looks around 7, but they're vlogging.
Oh, cool.
It's kind of cool to watch. I mean, when you're done the trail, you'll watch a little bit, but they're behind you, but they're vlogging and they're kind of putting out a video every day, which is just crazy. 'Cause how does the mom keep her eyes open?
I don't know.
When you lie down.
Yeah. Oh, cool. I'll have to find them. Yeah, because every, you know, how conversations and word spreads on trail, it's almost like circular. Everyone tells you about everything. So, yeah, I've been waiting to just, like, come across some other families and hopefully be able to hike together for a little bit. It'd be pretty cool.
It's just crazy. What? Okay, so if you had to just go back the first 5 days on trail, so you're kind of in between Campo and Mount Laguna. Let's just say that's 5 days. Maybe that was 8 days for you, whatever. Like that first 42 miles, what was like your body's telling? Because, you know, your bodies are kind of yelling at you a little bit. Like, what are you doing to me? Might be a little bit windy, maybe cold at night. What was the first 5 days on trail like?
We were just really trying to figure out our camping routine, you know, because a lot of it, it's like the hiking we can do, you know, you're just kind of walking all day, but it's the, you know, your camp chores when you get to camp and how you organize your stuff and where it goes in your backpack and how you pull it out and all of that. You know, we weren't incredibly hungry at that point. So we were kind of just eating to, you know, to fill the calorie void that we were getting. I think we were just giving ourselves a lot of benefit of the doubt of figuring it out. Which, yeah, we kind of had to, but it felt really good. We have that muscle memory for being on trail.
Right.
And we did have a fairly good weather window. It wasn't too bad. Yeah, a lot of wind and a lot of water, but we fell into it like pretty easily. And I think we were still like in the honeymoon phase at that point. Wow, we're really doing it.
True. And you know what? And you do have like time with your thoughts, right? And sometimes, look, if you could just whisper and no one's around right now, like, you know, you have some thoughts of like, are we doing the right thing? Like, did you have any doubts? Did you have any like, oh, I don't even know if we'll get to Big Bear. It doesn't matter. But were you less than confident in the first 5 days? Like, or were you just going with it and you weren't really thinking about that stuff?
No, it's constantly back and forth with it. And especially because how we started with this was, we'll just kind of go and see how it goes. And originally how this started, it was going to be mom was going to get a hike on her own, you know, and then like dad and kiddo came along just to start it out together. And so we're constantly back and forth with it. And my mind would spin about like, oh, if I was here by myself, you know, I could be pushing 20s already. Like that through hiker mentality of wanting to just like start off like a rocket. But it really tempered me. And I think it has been really good in the long run to have the kiddo with and to do those like smaller mileage days to, you know, get the body into it. Like it takes a beating on your body. And as adults, I think we can just kind of ignore it. Or push through it, but we were kind of forced to sit with it.
Yeah, and you know what, I think even just from the other families or just, you know, I mean, the mom with the three kids, I mean, she has long Instagram posts where that's her diary, really, right? Her open diary. So, you know, for older people, you know, our bodies hurt. Like sometimes kids are more resilient, like their bodies, sometimes they don't get cold like we do, and they recover a lot faster.
Just the other day bedtime, all the hikers are sitting around being like, oh, my hips, my calves, my feet, all these sore muscles, I'm so sore. And bedtime's like, what sore muscles, you know? Like it's not a concept for him at all. But yeah, I mean, we were as we start to think about the Sierra, you know, that's what everyone starts thinking about this time of like, what's the snow levels like and how are we going through it. We're back and forth a lot with what we're going to do with bedtime. And, you know, just last week I was calling my mom and I'm like, you need to come out and like, you know, take the kiddo so Ryan and I can finish hiking through the Sierra. And now we're like, maybe he can do it. You know, like, can we take him through? So it's a constant back and forth and it'll just work itself out the way that it's supposed to.
You can hire Grandpa as a Sherpa just to carry extra water and food through the Sierras.
We were thinking about hiring just like a trail nanny, you know, somebody to just like hike with the kiddo and, you know, talk to him. I know, talk to him all day. Part-time muscle
for like somebody that's fit, older, that just loves hiking.
Yeah, that can just entertain them.
And that has kids and they can understand meltdowns or anything. So that stuff doesn't bug them. Like if you have no kids, hearing kids is hard, like on a plane.
Totally.
But if you have kids and kids are screaming on a plane, it doesn't even bug you. You just feel bad for the mom or dad.
Exactly. You're just glad it isn't yours, you know? Yeah.
How have you guys dealt with the wind and cold?
Oh, the wind has been pretty bad. I honestly, it's not because we're all three in a tent at night and we're very toasty.
warm like that. And then the blustery days that we're hiking through, you just keep moving. You know, it's almost better to hike until dark, you know, or otherwise you're just sitting in a tent getting blown over and complaining about the weather.
All you guys have earplugs?
I do, yeah, which I use religiously, yes.
You got any snorers in the tent with you? Or
yeah, there's probably all of it, yeah.
What has the heat been like? Because you've had a couple hot days. I'm sure there's days without wind or you're closer to the bottom desert floor.
Yeah, there has been some heat. I mean, nothing like I think what's coming, you know, in April and May. All the hikers keep thinking about, you know, the people that are starting in May. It's got to be a lot more brutal. So, I mean, I think upwards of like 80, I think, has been our hottest day so far. And it's a big difference. You can really tell. And especially with those water carries, like a windy, blustery day, you're not carrying nearly as much water as it is on like, yeah, a still hot day.
Yeah.
And we're kind of learning, you know, how many liters we need to carry for those differences.
Do you guys got the sun umbrellas, the fancy sun umbrellas?
We do. I am so thankful that we got them from Six Moon Designs. That's have them nice. For all of us. Yeah. And it's very nice to have.
Especially really, for breaks.
Yeah. For breaks, create your own shade where there isn't a lot. And I mean, it's literally like 10 degrees cooler underneath that umbrella. It's great.
That's awesome. Like generally, how has bedtime adapted to trail life? This is like the first, the farthest that bedtime's ever gone, probably.
Mm-hmm.
So how has he adapted to trail life or just being like a little through hiker that makes you like super proud that you think, even if he had challenges at the beginning and he's like, you know, gotten his groove in that.
He has. And I think for all of us, it was a matter of establishing the routine. Like this is the new life, you know, there's right. no looking back to, you know, TV time and all of that we had before we got on trail. So that's kind of what the first 2 weeks were like. Maybe it's just like figuring out what our new life looks like. I'm really very floored by the way that he has grabbed on to this way of life. Like it is difficult, of course. And those are the lessons that you get from it. But
sure.
the things that I knew that he would like about, he really does like it. You know, like he's a trail celebrity. Like what little kid doesn't like, you know, getting high fives all the way down trail. And like we got out of the hitch
true.
That we got at the hostel yesterday and he climbs out of the car and everyone's like, bedtime, you know, like
it's. Oh, my goodness. Are they asking him what his YouTube channel is?
Oh, we're not there yet.
I got spies. I got spies that are like following you.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Well, there was Jen and Vince. They were you're episode 10. They were episode 7.
They're at the hostel with us right now.
Yes. She was going to sneak a picture of you, but you went to bed last night because she wanted to like show me like, oh my God, you know, there's celebrities in this hostel.
They're here. They're here. Yeah. Well, we are the bedtime family. So yeah, you got to catch us before bedtime.
What's paint me a little picture of you arriving at camp. What's your camp chores, your routine? Like who does what, you know, like what camp tasks do each of you kind of get stuck with?
Well, as of late, we've been doing, you know, we kind of have our regular stops throughout the day. So after our afternoon break, it'll be like, you know, 4 miles into camp. So we let Dad go ahead and he can hike ahead for that one. So bedtime and I kind of pull up the rear and we're a little slower in the evening. So we toddle along. Dad gets into camp and sets up the tent, you know, and finds us a nice place. And we get in, bedtime drops his pack, says how proud of himself he is after hiking big miles, and then, you know, starts to run around in circles and climb on rocks. As everyone's like hobbling around camp, there's this kid who's like doing circles around him. And yeah, we've been hiking probably until, depends on the day, you know, like 6 o'clock is kind of our time when we max out. And then, yeah, it's just a matter of like cooking a simple dinner and we're in bed before the sun goes down, reading books. You know, we do have a nice bedtime routine for all of us and we're all on the circadian rhythm. So once we're in camp, we're just making food and going to bed.
I'm going to whisper for this other one, but does he have any devices? Like, you know, like sometimes kids, they just, you got to save your battery, right? So we mm-hmm. all want to kind of play on our phones at night or whatever. But sometimes kids, they don't understand that there isn't like a plug. You can just plug and charge something again, right? So sometimes on night one, a kid will just watch YouTube, you know, and just suck the battery. And then it's like, then they want to use your power bank and you don't want to give it up because you need it for Garmins and all that kind of stuff.
So many devices. I know. He's a device free kid. Like we don't have anything at home and he doesn't have anything on trail.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Have you guys got hiker hunger yet?
Gosh, yeah. Yeah. It has really set in, I think, in the past like 50 miles. We've all gotten real hungry. And we actually like ran out of food coming into Big Bear. So we have a little accidental double zero here. It is okay. We're gonna learn from it and probably pack out more than enough food for this next leg just to overcompensate. But yeah, I mean, in the beginning we hardly ate at all. I dehydrated a lot of food. Like classic, you know, hiker mistake, but I dehydrated, well, what we could between, you know, the month that we were home to get ready for this, foods that Bedtime really likes at home, you know, so like he eats oatmeal like by the cupful at home. So I made a bunch of good stuff with like, you know, hemp hearts and all this peanut butter powder in it. And I thought it'd be good morning fuel. He won't touch it out here. So we're having a redo on a lot of these things. Like he's like all hikers. He's in it for the snacks. Yeah,
he just wants snacks. Payday bars.
Yeah,
payday bars and ice cream in town.
Yeah, and we can't blame him. You know, I want that stuff too. But so we have to figure out some more like hearty things to have for our breakfast and dinners that he is going to actually eat.
You posted a photo. Oh my god, I think I saw it like 10 minutes ago. But I saw that you had a big pot, a big black, you know, pot. You know, that you cook and stuff. Uh-huh. So how many stoves do you have? Do you just have that one bigger black pot type of thing, blackish pot that you cook with?
Yeah. All of my 20-year-old gear that I have on trail. Yeah. We started with two water filters and two stoves and quickly sent home one of each, that realized that we didn't need it. I thought we were going to be doing a lot more quantity and stuff too. So yeah, we just have the one big one. We're probably going to swap it out for a more minimalist one. We've even been talking about going to no cook whenever it starts getting a lot hotter. Cause we all just want a snack, you know, we're not cooking the oatmeal. We do have a hot dinner, you know, when it's cold out, but I could see getting away from that at some point too. And I really didn't see us going to no cook, but it might be that way if we're still trudging along in July. Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
What drives bed? So all these bedtime questions, but what drives Bedtime to town? What's the reward? I mean, obviously, you know, you pick and choose. You're like, okay, well, Lake Marina, they got ice cream, you know. But is there any like reward? I guess there is. I guess any parent knows that you gotta give like little rewards or psych them up for rewards. I guess it's town food.
I mean, at this point, it is. It's a lot of food. For him, he usually gets like a new book. So whenever we come to town, we'll find a little library or a used bookstore or something and swap out a new book for him. So yeah, that keeps him pretty jazzed, but it is, I mean, it's town food and we have a rule that you can't start talking about town food until the day before you're going in or else
that's a good rule. I think everyone should have that rule.
I know. Otherwise you go crazy. Like you can't think about it until it's close enough that you can taste. But yeah, it's food. He's a cheeseburger kid. So we've always got to find a cheeseburger when we get to town. And there was like a birthday for some hikers at the hostel last night. So it was him and, you know, a table full of 30-year-olds eating an ice cream cake, you know, and he was just in heaven.
Oh, man. That's crazy.
Yeah, it is.
Obviously you talked about how when you go for like in the evening, you know, Ryan hikes ahead and stuff. But generally, what's the order? Is Ryan ahead, Bedtime's in the middle, and you're in the caboose?
It fluctuates. Let's see. Sometimes Bedtime can have leader pace, but we're pretty adamant that you have to be able to maintain leader pace. So he's got a little rollback. He does go in the middle for the most part.
Sure.
It's good for both of our sanities to like give each other the break. So
it's weird having, I couldn't hack a kid behind me just because you would just be always don't fall in a cactus or I don't know.
And
just
yeah, he just starts to dawdle. You turn around and he's like a 100 meters back or something. You're just like, come on, kid, like keep up. He gets pretty distracted pretty easily. So yeah, we like to keep him in the middle. I tend to hike ahead during the day and I'll find, you know, the break spots. Him and Dad, Bedtime and Dad kind of have like some running dialogue games. Bedtime has this like stream of consciousness that he's just talking out loud like all day long, which is hard to keep up with sometimes. So we're trying to be good about giving each other breaks on that one.
I was also, you know, you were talking about, I think it's great, obviously, like reading books and all that kind of stuff. Have you ever introduced him to even audiobooks? Maybe that helps with the hiking, makes the miles go faster.
He does have, so we've got some books on our phone, and he has some, you know, lightweight, like, earphones that he puts on. He does like to listen to his stories. And when we need both of us need a break and we just need to be able to talk between each other, we will. Just unfortunately, he slows down to about a half a mile an hour hiking pace when he has his book on. So, <Okay. laughs> it's a little tough, but, you know, I'll take it when I can get it. I did put on music for him the other day just to be able to listen to, and like, he put it on, he's like, this makes me want to hike so fast, and just started running down trail. It's like, aha, we found it. So
he'll be hooked on heavy metal, I guess, by the end of the trail.
Exactly. Like, find your hiking jams. Let's go.
Any close calls with snakes, poodle dog bush, spiky cactuses, sharp rocks?
All of it. Yeah. One rattlesnake that we definitely did come across. And that's, when we were pretty adamant about keeping them in the middle, because I was in front and I, you know, literally stepped over it. It wasn't rattling, so I was very thankful for that. And we just got a nice learning experience of how to handle it and have it go off trail. So we are, very conscious of that, cactus and everything all the time. That's why we have like the accordion style mats, you know, like it's not the most comfortable thing in the world, but we would have everything popped if we had an air mattress at this time. We're learning poodle dog bush. There's been a few patches of it, but I think the most of it is yet to come. So hopefully we've just got a keen eye for it now and we'll try to stay out of it. He's fallen a couple times that have just like sent my heart racing. But thankfully it's just been, you know, a scratch knee.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. I mean, cactuses kind of scare me. I think there was somebody in a vlog where they, I don't know if they fell, but you know, they had like 30 of these little needles sticking, you know, and they had to like pull them out. It was like, oh my God, I just don't even want to.
Yeah, it's awful.
Yeah, I don't even want to. Let's not, don't even talk about it. Don't think about it. Which towns, I mean, you probably stopped at, you know, the Julian, the Idlewild, the Warner Springs. Did you go to that Montezuma's Market Valley, whatever?
We didn't make it to Montezuma. We had some really awesome trail magic, actually, that we got from, like, the same person twice. And he was from Coke Dog. He was posted up right at the Montezuma there. So we just ate a couple hot dogs from him and hung out. For the most part, we've been going in. Yeah, did a Zero in Julian. Met some really wonderful trail angels in Idlewild that took us in very graciously. So we got a Zero there also. And then, now in Big Bear, we're spending a couple days.
Did you get to meet Mayor Max?
We did not. He didn't show up until like 2 o'clock and we were done with our town chores by then. So
yeah,
we had moved on.
You got stuff to do.
We do. We are very important people here.
What places are just like, you know, when you have those hiker taste buds, like, is there any food that you're just like, it could even be like a plain burger or whatever, right? But because you're just, you got this hiker taste buds, is there any like restaurants or meals that you're like, oh my God, just, it was just awesome? Like, sometimes I love places that, I'm not a rich guy, but you know, you always will love that value, I guess, right? Like good food, value. Mm-hmm. And even like, you know, it's nice when you get a restaurant that even like caters to hikers, where it's just like prices are more reasonable because they know you just want to eat a lot, I guess. And you don't want to pay a lot, really. But is there any places that you just like loved
that I'm ready to flip back and go visit again? They've all been pretty good, I would have to say. And everyone's very hiker friendly. We ate at the Teddy Bear Cafe here in town yesterday. And I was like floored by it. I don't know if that's because
I never heard of that one. I know there's the Grizzly something in Big Bear. There's one. Grizzly Manor or something like that.
Sounds like it probably have big portions. Huh?
Maybe that's it. Maybe you just call it the Teddy Bear. But, you know.
Maybe, yeah, it's, I mean, we were here, we got in on Easter Sunday and not realizing it, and a lot of things were closed and we were just wandering around starving and got recommended to that place. And it was delicious. I already planned out what I'm going to have for breakfast before we leave town for our second stop.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the hunger is set in where I will just about eat anything. And yes, it all is good. I'm a little bit more of a foodie when I'm not hiking, but at this point I just need calories in my face.
Yeah, exactly. What was it like leaving like Paradise Valley Cafe? Like, did you guys head up towards like Apache Peak and stuff? Did you go around that part? Like,
we went through it. We had gotten trail updates that it was clear of snow. That was definitely one that I was very concerned about. And I had a lot of anxiety going through that section anyway, just, you know, with the memories of Microsoft. And I think it kind of had this like ominous feel for a lot of hikers as they went through. I did not like it. but we did go through
a lot
through
of people talking about Microsoft.
Yeah, there definitely was. You know, in that you're at Paradise and they have the micro spikes that are sitting there.
That's
for the program
thing.
That was there. Absolutely. And I think it just made hikers really realize that the risks that are there. And that's a big part of it. And it, you know, honestly, I don't know if it was more dangerous than anything else we'd come through before, but 100% under different conditions, it would be. So mom just kind of came and went in the back and tried to keep my anxiety to myself. And, you know, dad in bedtime went through it and it was fine.
Yeah,
but I even got a little anxiety thinking about it, you know. There's some real risks out here, and we just have to be reminded of that.
Well, sometimes we talked about it on the first thing. It's like if my kids were in front of me, I'd be saying a lot like, pay attention.
Yes.
Watch your step. Pay attention.
Yes.
Like if you feel that they're just drifting and they're just not looking down at where their feet
mm-hmm.
are planting, you know, and
exactly.
there's rocks around, I'd be saying it all day long. I'd be like my mom used to be with me.
Exactly. That's what I feel like. And dad's a little more easygoing and, you know, manages that a little bit more. I would be barking at him the whole time for sure. But we just remind him, like, stay close to the mountain, you know, like just hug the wall of the mountain as you're going past the steep stuff. And he's been really good about it. Yeah.
I guess he loves blowdowns because he just walks under them.
He does. It's a jungle gym for him. You know, you're like up, down, over or around. It's a balance beam, you know, like.
Because there's a lot.
Yeah, there was a lot of those.
In that section or whatever, there's a lot
yeah,
of people.
It was that, and that's the kind, I don't know, he's floored me what he likes. The more adverse the conditions, like, he really likes that style of hiking. It's the trudging one foot after another of just an endless path that he gets bored with. But, yeah, you throw some logs in there or some snow, and, yeah, he's all over it.
Did you, and then I guess, so leaving Idlewild, you went up again towards Mount San Jacinto?
Yeah, we went back up and then did the Fuller Ridge over and down that way. And that was, yeah, I mean, we ended up getting hit in the storm that came through, like gale force winds were hitting us as we were crossing Fuller Ridge.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that on the vlogs.
Yeah, it was a bit much. But again, like, we just had to keep hiking. You know, it was a waterless stretch, and we weren't going to stop until we got to the place that we wanted to camp for the night. And that bedtime floored me like the whole time. He was like, we can do this, like, as a family, let's go. Like,
yeah,
he's
the pep rally.
He was like, I did not expect this from my kid. You know, I was ready to just call it and just, you know, be frustrated. But he like kept us going. It was amazing.
Oh, that's so good. We're almost like I said, I don't want to keep you. I'm trying to go as fast as I can. But being so right now, you're around that 266 miles along
mm-hmm.
the trail. Anything on the three of you that your bodies are hurting more than normal right now?
Nothing unexpected. There is a physical therapist on trail, Blaze.
Yes.
And I saw her in Idlewild and she's helped
puppy.
Me with, I know, and a pups. Yes. We got to meet Honey and get a shower from Honey. So that was our dog fix. And it, you know, it was just an issue that I had before trail that I was worried about flaring up. But I, so far, so good. Sore muscles, sore feet, but with some stretching, yeah, the normal. It's going to be there. Again, I think the double zero is going to help. We're going to be off trail for a week in May because I'm going to go out east to trail days.
Okay.
So I think that will just be another break kind of built into it to help for longevity wise.
What's trail days again? Is that AT related?
Yeah, it's in Virginia. It's the big trail event for the Appalachian Trail.
Cool. What's your outlook on the next stretch? Like the next stretch towards whatever, you know, they got. I mean, is it simply let's just walk to McDonald's? Or does bedtime say, but mom, you've been saying that for 150 miles.
You've been saying, he discovered the kids meal that gets the toy. So he will probably have that as motivation. We got Deep Creek Hot Springs coming up. which I'm excited about. Yeah. That I think, yeah, K-Home Pass is going to be cool. I mean, it's going to be some hot sections going through, but
you got some mountains and trees too.
It's yeah. Yeah. We got some mountains floor. And trees. Exactly. It's been beautiful to see the changing landscape. I think for Ryan and I is like, we've lived on, was a California boy born and raised. Yeah. And we live on the West Coast to just kind of see how things change as we go north and some similar climates to even what we have in Southern Oregon. It's just the splendor of the West Coast has been really beautiful.
Oh, that's awesome. Anything, do you have any worries up ahead?
Not yet.
You get past all that agua dulce, you know, and then there's some boring heat and boring.
I think it will be. Heat. Yeah. Like the LA aqueduct and stuff. Yeah. I'm not super excited about that, but you know, we got our sun umbrellas and we'll have to just wake up early and
maybe
pound
it
out.
Maybe that's the nighttime hike. You know, hey, we're going to sleep all day. We're going to hike all night.
Maybe. Bedtime would probably love that. Yeah.
Probably. You know what? I loved when you filmed, like, bedtime filmed a little commercial for you showing the new kilt that Ryan was rocking.
Yeah.
You got to do more of that.
I know. I think that I should, too. And we might try to do that. He liked doing it. And I was like, is this a little too rough cut? But it was like, oh, no, it's obviously a 5-year-old that's filming it. So we'll just go with it.
Or maybe you're the camera person. And then, you know, bedtime's like pointing out all the little features.
Yeah, he could. He would be quite the salesman on that. He loves his kilt for his pocket snacks. He always has pocket snacks. So, could be a good salesman.
I super appreciate it. I don't want to keep you, but, you know, like, can we do this again? I don't know when.
Yeah, no, I would love to. And maybe in May when I'm taking time off, I'll have a couple days on the other end. It's good for me to have some reflection pieces on this, too, because it's a lot. You know, it's not just me and my hike. We're very much a family unit.
I'll post this. There'll be no like daddy daughter talk in the beginning of like boring stuff. It will just be strictly Purple Rain and crew.
Oh, cool. Thank you. No, I appreciate you reaching out. It's a lot of fun out here. And it's cool that people are like taking an interest in those of us that are crazy enough to bring our kids out here.
Well, yeah. And you know what? Like, I just for people, like if there's people in the future that are hiking and let's say they, you know, there's someone like you. You know, I understand that some people don't want to be a vlogger, you know, mm-hmm. and that's like time with editing. But I think more people should do podcasts and it's just for your family and friends.
Right.
Because you could get into town and you can just, you know, you got some days to think about what you're going to talk about. You maybe write down a couple talking points, but it's an easy way to like record, tell some stories, give people an update and then you just post it and then your family and friends, you know, because sometimes, you know, you're answering the same question on Facebook Messenger, right. You're answering the same thing by text and Instagram, and by doing these little trail updates you're not on camera so people don't see how dirty you are. You know, and some people don't like to be on camera, but recording a podcast, even if you just talked for 10 minutes giving an update of this is where we just come from, this is the road ahead. More people should do it because uploading it, it's free, you know, and then whoever wants to listen, you know, whether it's family and friends. So more people should do it because it's an easy way and there's no editing really.
Yeah. We're going back and forth like of commemorating our hike in some way. If even just for us or, you know, for bedtime to be able to look back through and, you know, 5 or 10 years or something, a way to really document what we're doing more so than just Instagram posts. You know?
Well, you know what? I think it's fun. Also, I talk too much, but one thing I'll say on this really quick is when you're done, I think it's fun to stay up all night in a way because you're doing your own pictures. But if it was me, I would get all my pictures together. I would pull pictures from Ryan's phone, your phone. And if you made like a good slideshow and you did a voiceover, that would be easy to do. And you could make kind of like a summary video with a little bit of video clips if you have it. Lots of pictures, but it's the voiceover. Huh. And you have time to like write out your little script. That's an easy thing to do.
Well, that would be cool. Yeah, I like that idea.
Yeah, you just got to think of your thoughts of like your different chapters of what you want to talk about and then find the photos that back up the different things you talk about. in order and then put it together. It's pretty easy to do.
Yeah, it's like a modern day scrapbooking, huh?
Yeah. Okay, well, enjoy the rest of your day, and I just follow your Instagram posts, but maybe we could talk when you're on the trail days or whatever, and then just want to talk to you before you get, when you get into the hot, well, whatever, Tehachapi, or if you ever have, because once past Tehachapi, or whatever, I can't even never say that word, Tehachapi,
something like that.
Yeah, there's no Wi-Fi, there's no service, you can't talk to anybody, you just go off into the Sierras and no one ever hears from you again.
Yes, let's touch base before then.
If we can. Okay.
All right. Thanks for reaching out, Dan. It's nice to chat again.
Oh, no worries. Okay. Have a good one. We're following.
All right. Thanks, Dan. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye. I'm 1,000 miles from nowhere. Time don't matter to me. Because I'm 1,000 miles from nowhere. And there's no place I'd rather be.
Thanks so much for Mandy coming on the pod for this bonus episode. We encourage you to go listen to her episode 10 to find out more about her story and the story of Purple Rain Adventure Skirts. My daughter's just getting back from New York City with a trip with friends, so she couldn't be on this episode. We have recorded an episode with Chris Perello, who owns Triple Crown Coffee, and he's also hiked the Triple Crown, and that episode will drop next. We have some upcoming guests lined up, so we're excited to record them. We're also going to be recording that episode that we keep talking about, where we're going to do a Q&A episode, which will be with my friend, fellow Patreon supporter Michelle, who's going to be interviewing us live, maybe over brunch. We're going to record that with video, and that's going to be on our YouTube channel, and the audio is going to be here. We want to also thank some Patreon supporters. We were doing sort of a shout out of different Patreon supporters at the end of the podcast. We haven't done that in a bit. So I would like to thank my friend Shelly, who has been supporting us from the beginning. She does $3 a month. That helps pay for Chantel's sleeping quilt. I rent the basement of, you know, her basement where I live here in Peterborough. She gives me a good deal on rent. That also helps us save. Her dogs are the dogs that I walk, and that also helps me save money for our trip. I obviously walk them a little bit cheaper than she was paying somebody. Shelly supported us since the beginning, and on a side note, I'm going to be moving out this summer, getting a van, being a little bit more minimalistic, which is always a fun challenge for me personally. I mean, having a van, because right now I don't have any wheels, but having a van will help us with our hikes, camping this summer and next. In 2025, I'm going to do a little 6-month road trip with my son around North America, mostly in the States, which is going to be fun. I'll put a photo of our route in the show notes. See, the PCT hike with my daughter, it's going to be a ton of memories for her, of her old man that, you know, I can't live forever. And so doing this van trip with my son is almost the same thing, like a 6-month trip where he's going to have tons of memories of his old man. After that, I'd love to save up for a 2-month backpacking trip to Thailand, Vietnam, to kind of show them that corner of the earth. But anyways, the finances for our trip, for our PCT trip, and our current savings, and our projected expenses, is on our website, and I'm going to put a link in the show notes. You know, the smallest monthly support that someone can help us with is $1 per month, and that helps, you know, pay for Chantel's 4 to 5 pairs of shoes that she's going to need for the trail. This summer, we're going to make some bonus episodes, bonus audio episodes of just me and Chantel for our Patreon platform. And we're also going to make some videos too, because we want to sort of get the vlogging going of some of our camping and hiking trips. So we're just going to sort of post that on our Patreon. We don't want to sort of clutter our YouTube. We'll just keep that more like PCT trip. But other than that, thank you for supporting us. We super appreciate it. Thank you for listening. You know, if anyone has any questions for us, please email us, send us a DM on social media like Facebook or Instagram, post a comment on Instagram or TikTok or whatever, and we'll answer them in our Q&A episode. You have no idea how much the feedback that we've gotten already and the support that we received has been really sweet. So we just can't wait to get on trail, enjoy ourselves, document it for friends and families, and you through our podcast and on our YouTube channel. I think our trip is about 708 days away. Anyways, enjoy the last days of April, and we'll catch up with you soon. Take care.